Thank you, Andrew. Bless you. Thank you for the privilege. Great. Well, I'm very excited to be able to share today, and had something that happened, and you can go ahead and put that first slide up if you would. That would be great. Had something happen this last week. On Friday, I came home from a long time of being on the road, and I received a card. And the card was from a good friend, someone that I had gone to church with for years. And in the card, it said, "Thinking of you on Mother's Day." And she remembered that this is my first Mother's Day without my mother. I lost my mom last year in July. And I thought, wow, what a precious friend to take the time to send that card. And in it, it encouraged me to remember the memories and to find the joy. And that on this Mother's Day, it could be a day filled not only with sweet sorrow, but also one filled with joyful memories, that I could rejoice in who she was in my life. And I thought, I'm not alone. My friend who sent this card has lost her mother as well. I'm not alone. And God knows exactly where my heart is. I'm not alone. And it was so timely because I had prepared the message already to share with you. You are not alone. And as Andrew prayed and as you shared your story, as different people have spoken this morning, just recognition that a day like today can be mixed. We can be in a position where we have a mother, but we might not be speaking to her. Or maybe we have a child and we might not be speaking to them. But we're not alone. There are others that are there and understand that. We may be unable to have children, but we're not alone because there are people that share their children with us. I think about the beautiful people in my children's lives who were couples or singles that came alongside and co-parented with me. You're not alone. You have others that know where you are and others that appreciate and walk with you. When I think about the many people that single parent, moms that parent alone or fathers that parent alone, that are both mother and father, you're not alone. You have people that want to surround you and come behind you and support you. Maybe you're an expectant mom and you're ready to have that first baby and you should be only thrilled, but you're also a bit frightened. You're not alone. Maybe you're a new mom who's exhausted or a mom who spent the week in the hospital with a child frightened. You're not alone. And today is a day of joy. I'm going to tell you the beginning, the ending before I start. What I'm hoping at the very end that you have something to take away with is the fact not only that you're not alone, but also that there are mothers that have been in your life, people who have nurtured you, that you can honor and appreciate today. And I'm going to challenge you to do that. And also, that you are being called to love and to mother other people. As the bride of Christ, we represent, as part of the triune God called us to be the bride of Christ, we are called to mother and love those people that God brings into our life. So that's what I'm going to hope you walk away with in the end as I finish up today. As I move on to the next slide, basically, who knows a mother's heart? The fact of the matter is that anyone who's here that was a child has known a mother's heart, whether it was your own mother, an adopted mother, a stepmother, or whether you were in an orphanage and you were loved by people who took care of you. My daughter and one of my sons, Luke, has had the privilege of spending time in orphanages and seeing children who were motherless and fatherless, loved by many people who nurtured them and cared for them. So any child has known the love of someone who's nurtured them, or they wouldn't have survived. Medical science shows us that the only way we can thrive is to be loved and to be cherished. And I've had the privilege of being a birth parent. One of the things that has been a joy to me is my four children. Really, to try to share in 20 minutes what it means to be a mother is impossible. But I'll give you a little peek. As I have my four children, I'm really pleased to have two of them here today. My oldest son, John, is here. And my daughter, Jessica, and her husband, Ben, are here. What a privilege. And Luke and Eric are busy with their lives, often doing something else, and yet in contact. I'm also honored to have Paul's mother here, Harriet. It's really sweet to have her come and join us today. As a birth mother, one of the things that I remembered was my own father. He was in the labor room with me the first time, up into the point that it got a little scary. And then he said, "You know, this is all well and good, but I think I'm going to leave." So he exited the room, quite rightfully so, went out into the waiting room. And then came back in when the baby was there. The baby was laid on my chest, and we were all oohing and aahing and amazed. And I wondered where the baby came from. Although I understood fetal development and the whole process, I still couldn't figure out where that child came from. It was such a miracle. And for the rest of my father's life, he told me in awe about a miracle that he saw. He said when he left the labor room, he left his daughter pregnant, working hard. When he came back in, he saw a mother. And it was amazing to him. He said he hadn't seen that with his own wife because he was too close to it. He was becoming a parent himself. But to observe that, he said, something changed inside me. And it was a visible change, and he was amazed. I've seen that same change in adoptive parents. I've had the privilege of standing in the window and waiting, holding a mother's hand as a baby was arriving on an airplane from another land. And we were breathing together. We did Lamaze. The birth pains were just as real. And as we sat and we watched the little green blanket go across the space and then come down and finally arrive in the arms, I saw that same transformation on her face. It was a miracle. It was a joy. It was a privilege to share. I've also watched step-parents when families merge and already existing children who've known a different mother perhaps or not, all of a sudden have a new stepmom or stepfather. And I've watched that bonding and sometimes the challenge of it. My own mother lost her mom when in the 1918 flu epidemic. And people would tell her later just what an angel her mama had been. And she missed her. Her dad later married again. And the three children went on the honeymoon with mom and dad. Dad was so glad to have his family back together again. And the church that they were a part of were very supportive of her in her stepmother role. But sometimes people would say, oh, you poor dear, you lost your angel mama. And now you have that stepmother who's quite strict. And as Anita shared, it isn't always easy to give the rules as a mom. And my mom over time realized that that wasn't a favor. That support and that nurture that that stepmother provided was life to her. She loved her and it was a privilege while it was different. And I think about the number of people who have been, as I said, as our kids grew up in a church, there was a couple who chose or weren't able to have children. And every Sunday, the kids would gather around Stan. Mind you, Stan gave out little candies, and that was one of the reasons they gathered, but he also gave out words of encouragement and words of challenge and words of recommended change of behavior. And his wife, Sue, opened her home always, and kids were always welcome to come in there, and so they co-parented with us. I think about the number of people who are single that are very whole people that ministered to my children and prayed for my children and still do. And they came alongside and they shared in that love of raising those children. And it's such a joy even now when I'm in touch with them. They say, how are they? Fill me in. I want to know every detail. I love those kids as though they were my own. One of the inspirations for the title of what I shared today, You're Not Alone, came from Jason Upton, a musician. And that musician was an orphan himself. His mother was 19 and his father was 17, and she relinquished him for adoption and his birth parents raised him. And the only prayer she had for him is that he would grow up knowing how to worship God. And indeed he does, and he has a ministry. And when he talks about orphans, one of the songs he sings is Run, Run Away From Me. And in the song he talks about from God's heart to Jonah, but also to anyone, he says, run, run away from me. I release you. For you know not who you are. Orphan boy, orphan girl. You think you're alone. Run, run away from me. I release you. Because you will run right back to me. You will find the real truth that you are my daughters, my sons. You are loved. You are precious. Many of us may feel orphaned at times, but none of us are. Because he releases us and allows us to run back, and we truly are daughters and sons. So what is a mother's heart? As we look at what a mother's heart is anybody who gives birth, sometimes not physically. In the dictionary, it defines mother in several ways. It says a female parent. It also says that it is someone who gave birth. Or someone who shows characteristics of mothering or nurturing and caring. Or it's an elderly woman who we speak with respect towards and call them mother. Or it can be someone who creates and gives birth to an idea. Eve's name means mother of all mothers. And as we look at that, we look at what a mother is. As we give birth, what we do is we choose to love. We take the risk of loving, and it's a costly risk. It costs us from the beginning. It's a painful process and a joyful process. And we put our heart in a vulnerable place where it can be wounded and filled with joy at any time. The first thing we learn to do as a mother is to hold tight. When you have a brand new baby, you hold it close to you and you make sure its head doesn't fall. And you're very careful and hold it tight. I have some friends who adopted babies who were cocaine babies. And they were told, these babies will never bond with you. They don't have that within them. That was destroyed by the drugs. And my friends have two children that they adopted that way. And their theory was, hold them tight. And they held them night and day. They had every one of their children and themselves hold them night and day. And indeed, those children did bond. They broke the medical rules, and those children were able to bond because they were held tight. The other thing we're called to do is to disciple. And then when we disciple, what we do is we show grace and truth. In grace and truth, we look at forgiveness and love. We look at complete unconditional love. And at the same time, uncompromised truth. We know for what we stand and we make it clear. And we're quick to forgive. We're not perfect, and our children are not perfect. We do the best we know how. We live in community, forgiving often and loving much. The other thing, as I said already, is we're called to release. And I think that's the hardest part of being a mother of all. And in that releasing, we start young. When they learn to walk, we hold them tight. And we hold their hands and we help them balance. But pretty soon we have to release so they can take those steps themselves. When we teach them to ride a bike, we run right along beside them and we hold tight and we hold and we hold. And then we release and they take off and they're able to ride themselves. When we teach them to drive, we sit right next to them. Lots of grace, lots of truth. Shared on a regular basis through the entire process of learning to drive. Well done, not well done. Do that again. Don't do that again. Grace and truth on a regular basis. And then one day they get their license and we have to release and off they go. They may roll a car and your heart may be broken or it may survive it. But you release knowing you're vulnerable, taking that risk. And when they graduate or don't, some don't, and we let them go out of their home, it's time to release. One of the things we're told when we're married is leave your father, forsake your father and mother, and cling to the one you married. Paul challenges those who are single and called into ministry to let go. Don't love your mother and father more than me. Follow me. So that release is incredibly important. And right behind it then, because we release, we're able then again to embrace. After they take the first step, we embrace them. They ride the first bike, we embrace them. They come back home after they drove the car to school and back, we embrace them. They leave for college, they come home, we embrace them. They leave for drug rehab, they come back, we embrace them. Wherever we release them, we embrace them when they return. So again, you're not alone. Grace and truth is what we really model. And as we model that grace and truth, that unconditional love, we look at the model that God set. The triune God spoke and created the earth, the heavens and the skies and the seas. And he said it was good in every step. And then as he created man, he said, almost good, not quite. Let's add woman. Because that will be the reflection fully of who I, God, am. Both that nurturing and that father-mother heart that's made manifest through the Holy Spirit to us and that we as the body of Christ make manifest to the world. We can be whole whether we're married or not, but as a church we need men and women to have the whole picture, to be able to make known the picture of who God is. We look at the Word, whether it's Jesus Christ himself, the Holy Spirit, or the written scriptures, as you consider the Word. It made it clear in the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother. It's the only one that has a promise. Life will be long and you'll dwell in the land that I've given you. It's a powerful promise. And we're called to honor. And Jesus did. He spoke to mothers and of mothers and he had compassion towards them. One of his last words were on the cross. As he was hanging, he looked at his beloved disciple and said, disciple, behold your mother. And he pointed to Mary, his mother. And mother, behold your son. And indeed, that disciple took care of that mother for the rest of her life. Jesus honored his mother. And the mother was willing to let go and release her son, knowing that as much pain as he was going through and as she was suffering, that God would bring the truth in the end. So we are called to love. We must dare. And then we look again that we're not alone. As we look at the last slide of not being alone, we just recognize. One more. There, whoop, back one. We recognize that we have mother's ears. Mother's ears are amazing. I tested this out when I was 18. I was living at home. I was a senior in high school. And I laid in bed one time, and I called out to my mother, and I said, "Hey, Mom." It was in the middle of the night, like 3 in the morning. She came running. "Yes, honey, what is it? Can I help you?" I said, "I sure love you. Thank you." She went back to bed. A week later, because I didn't do it right on top of each other. That would have been a terrible night for her. But a week later, I said, "Hey, Mom." "Yes, honey. How are you? Are you okay?" "Yes, I am, Mom. I sure love you. I was having a dream and I just wanted to tell you." Another week later, I said, "Hey, Mom." "Yes, honey. Did you call? Are you okay?" Her ears were amazing. It shocked me. I couldn't believe that she was there at the whisper. Now, I tried this again. I went to college. I was the youngest, last one out of the house. I tried it again when I was about 19, and I came home after being gone a very long time. I came home, and I laid in bed, and I thought, "I wonder if she still does it." I said, "Hey, Mom. Hey, Mom. Hey, Mom. Hey, Mom. Mom, are you okay?" And she's like, "What, honey? Why are you waking me up?" It was amazing. She was no longer in charge of taking care of me. She had released me and thus got finally some good sleep. Thank goodness. It was wonderful for her. But being able to hear her voice and that response melted my heart. It may not be the mother that you were born from that's the voice you heard, but someone's voice spoke to you and loved you. And as we look at that, there are times when we might feel motherless. I look at this day, the first time without my mom. You know what? I don't feel motherless. I feel that love that carried, and I feel that love from one another. I feel the love of the card that I got from my mother-in-law and that I got from my friend and those things that honor me for my children. I'm not alone. That healing touch comes from the body of Christ, from us as the bride of Christ. And hearing God's voice happens when we speak what God prompted us to speak to others, when we listen what others speak to us, and that still small voice sometimes when we're alone and when we're quiet, and whether we're either filled with joy or at the end of our rope, whether we're in despair or in the midst of impressive joy, if we still and sit and listen, we will hear that voice speak to our own hearts. And so the question I ask you, as I told you, I warned you earlier, my last question for you is, are there people who have nurtured you and loved you, either your mother or someone else, that you can think of and thank and appreciate and honor today? And Andrew and I talked, we had a lot of fun talking about the service today, and he's going to take you through some activities where we have a chance to do that. And so I'm just going to ask you, there are people who have nurtured and loved you in a motherly way. Some of them may be male, but they may have mothered you in a way that spoke to your heart. And I'm going to challenge you to honor them today. And then the second thing that I'm going to challenge you to is to ask yourself, who are you being called to love? How much risk are you willing to take, knowing that your heart may be broken in 1,000 pieces a dozen times? Love anyway. It is so worth it. It is so worth it. I'm so thankful that I'm a mother and that I have the privilege of mothering more than just my 4. I get to mother their friends and my friends and the children of my friends. It is such a privilege. And it's a privilege to be a part of the body of Christ here. And thank you for the mothering you've done for me over the last months as I went through surgery, the number of cards, the number of well wishes, the meals, all the things that came and supported me. You mothered and supported me. And so I honor you on this day and thank you as well. May you have a joy-filled Mother's Day.
Thanks, Lois. I'd like us to respond.